Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I am happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Let's continue with my teaching titled, The Fruit of the Born-Again Spirit. This teaching is an in-depth study of the book of Galatians chapter 5. The Holy Spirit gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and hear about daily. People in general are operating in their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. Listener, you may be in a hurting situation and feeling isolated, but unfortunately, you are not alone. There are hurting people all over the world, in our communities and families, because of living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each Christian to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior if we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a godly example of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in patience, growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. I began this teaching on August 25th, 2021. So if you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or you would like to re-listen to the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We started examining the fruit of the born-again spirit of man as listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, when I ran out of time. Let's complete our examination of the fruit of love. I will reread my definition from the New Webster's Dictionary and remind you where we should look to for our answers to life. Keep in mind that fruit requires growth and development. The fruit of our born-again spirit must be nurtured with God's Word and given time to develop by using that particular fruit in our everyday living. The more we use love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the greater that attribute or character of God will grow in us. And we know from God's Word that these attributes bring life more abundantly and not death. As a reminder, these fruits are deposited into our spirit at the time of salvation in Jesus. All right, the fruit of the born-again spirit, love, means a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection. As for a friend, parent, or child, the beloved affection of God for his creatures, or the reverent affection due God for them. As Christians, our life's guidebook is the Holy Bible. Therefore, to define what is right or wrong on any topic, the act must be in accordance with God's Word, not what society says is right or wrong. Because we know that Satan is running this corrupt world system, and he has deceived the world to be his tools of destruction. Therefore, Christians must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not this corrupt world system. Let's read what the Old Testament has to say about the first fruit of the born-again spirit, which is love. I will be reading from the New King James Bible for the following passages. Please turn to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 19, 1 verse, verse 18. Again, Leviticus 19, 18 says, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Family, here are our marching orders. Again, last portion of that scripture says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. That's Proverbs 10:12. It says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." Now, I want to key in on the last part of the verse that says, "Love covers all sins." In modern translation, "love covers all sins" means forgiving and overlooking another's sins. All right. That is how we should operate in this earth realm as the children of the Most High God. Now let's go to the New Testament and continue to read about the fruit of love. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 25, we're going to read verses 34 through 40. Again, Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Jesus is speaking. Verse 34 says, "Then the king, Jesus, will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" Verse 37, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse 40, it says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Again, family, when we do these acts of kindness, not only are we showing our love, but we are doing it unto our Savior and Lord. Let's continue with the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Again, Mark 12, 30 and 31. Jesus is speaking. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I want to say that again. God says, there is no other commandment greater than these. So we need to keep that in mind, Christian, when we are operating in this earth realm. We need to be the love of God shared with one another. All right, let's go to the book of Ephesians. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Again, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Verse 1 says, and you, he, Jesus, made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now this word trespasses means commit offense against someone. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this evil world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Last verse, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, this wonderful passage that we just read really lets us know as Christians what our conduct should be. So I want to go back to verse number 3 and reread that one verse, because it is full of information that Christians need to understand. Verse 3 says again, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That's who we once were. When we were dead in our sins, we were sinners, and the sin nature loves to sin. That's who we were before we came to Christ. Let's go to verse number 5. And it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God did not require us to clean our act up. What he does require is that we come to him through the blood of Jesus accept the gift of salvation and be cleansed of that sinful nature. Then once we are children of the Most High God, under the blood of Jesus, we must choose to stop sinning. Let's go on to verse number 6. I want to highlight that verse. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As our Savior and Lord, He is the King of our lives, and we should be imitating His life, His words, His actions. Now let's drop down to verse 10, and I want to reread that for emphasis. One more time, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, not evil works, but good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We should walk in them, but it's up to us individually to do so. We have a free will, and we have to choose to do right. God created us for good works, and at rebirth, God placed in us His spiritual DNA. Now, in the natural, DNA is a molecule that encodes the genetic instructions used in the development and functioning of all known living organisms. A Christian's spiritual DNA is that of our Heavenly Father's, and we can live in His likeness if we choose to. Please go to the book of John. I will continue to read from the New King James Bible. John chapter 13, we're going to read two verses, verses 34 and 35. Jesus is speaking. Verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, Christian, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I want to highlight that last verse, because a disciple is a follower of Christ, and we must think like Him, speak like Him, and act like Him. And we all know that Jesus operated with love continually for mankind. So that's what we should do as Christians, is love. All right, let's continue with John chapter 14. Just one verse, verse 21. Again, John 14, 21, Jesus is still speaking. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." I want to highlight the first part of that verse, because it says, "He who has my," that's the Lord's commandments, "and keeps them." So it's not sufficient to just know the commandments of God. We must do the commandments of God. "It is He who loves me." That's how we show our love to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, by being obedient. We show our love to God and Jesus Christ by doing His word. In other words, by being obedient to do His commandments, which are found in the Holy Bible. And we just read from God's word that we should love one another as we love ourselves. Therefore, a Christian who is following this great commandment cannot possibly be doing harm to another individual and think they are pleasing their Heavenly Father. Let's continue with the book of Romans, chapter 12. We're going to read verses 9 through 21. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse number 9, says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse number 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse number 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Last verse, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the very fact that the Word of God says, do not be overcome by evil, means we are in charge. Don't allow Satan, his evil assignments, to take you over. You stand fast on the Word of God, and you put pressure in that spirit realm to keep the challenges of life under your feet, always knowing that the Word of God is greater and more powerful than any Satan or any evil assignment. Amen. All right, let's continue with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse number 9, it says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Last verse, verse 12, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Now, here is a very interesting phrase that's used in verse number 10 that I want to highlight, because it says, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. All right, so apparently these Christians were doing just what the Word of God commanded them, and that was to love their brethren in their local area. But notice that the next part of that verse says, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Not only should we love one another as Christians, but we should show that same godly love to those who are not in the faith. Obviously, we're not doormats, but we can extend a word of kindness, a word of love and encouragement. We should pray for the unsaved so they can come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And then I want to reread verse number 12. One more time for emphasis. It says that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. So our lifestyle should mimic Jesus Christ so that the world, I'm referring to the sinner, can see your good works, your love and compassion, and it will drive them to Christ as a result of your lifestyle. All right, let's continue with 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses number 3 through 6. That's 1 John 2, 3 through 6 says, "Now by this we know that we know him, Jesus, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Verse number 5. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." Last verse, verse 6. "He who says he abides in him," Jesus, "ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Now, I want to explain this word "abides" because it's a very interesting word. In this context, it means accept or act in accordance with a rule or decision. Again, if we say that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, that we're Christians, his disciples, then we should accept and act in accordance with Jesus the Christ and how he operated in this earth realm. Oh, family, I'm sorry. I'm out of time. Please come back next week as we continue our study on the fruit of the born-again spirit. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.